It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back to the Midwest Madness Podcast, your home for men's and women's Big 12 hoops. I'm Christine Butterfield, and joining me today is someone that's never come on here. It's someone I know very well, someone I appreciate, someone who knows a lot about college basketball and is a Duke fan. Matt Burton, who does a lot of work for The Franchise OK, 107.7 The Franchise, doing a bunch of stuff, always out and about, I feel like, and also co-hosts the Thunder pregame show and postgame show with me.
Yes, absolutely. All of those things, but Duke fan first.
Ugh, it classifies as a Duke fan first before any kind of work.
Absolutely.
So how nice has it been to be a Duke fan? Because I think this season was, fair to say, rocky, kind of like from the jump.
Yeah.
And
not too rocky. It got a little
weird. It never is too rocky as a Duke fan, but I mean,
well,
like,
yeah, that's the thing
it's
with
not,
Duke. Especially this year, like, you get off to such a high. You beat, was it Michigan State early? Or did Kansas play Kentucky in the Champions Classic?
Yes.
That they all play? Okay.
Well, I know they played them in the SEC
Challenge.
Big 12
so that's
Challenge.
Why I didn't know. I can't remember. No, Duke played Kentucky. So Duke gets a win over Kentucky in the Champions Classic. Kansas beats Michigan State. And then Duke also beats Gonzaga early in the year in non-conference. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Like,
okay, this is it.
This is it. This team is legit. And that was without A.J. Griffin. Like A.J.
Right.
Griffin was barely playing a lot in the non-conference because he was coming back from an injury. So I was like, man, this team, and then they get to add A.J. Griffin to this mix. Like, I'm so excited. But, yeah, and then in conference play, it always happens. You lose to a Vautech, or you lose to
a
Wake Forest. Like, you lose to someone you shouldn't. That just, it happens. And it made it worse, too, because no other ACC team was ranked. Like, it was only Duke.
This has been a terrible year for the ACC. I mean, not in, like, making it
March Madness.
Deep. Yeah, I'm saying, like, not in
weird.
The postseason,
yeah.
But, like, in the regular season, it was an awful year.
Absolutely, it was. This was a down ACC, and one where, you know, the guy from Wake Forest wins ACC Player of the Year. We know
right.
him well here. Alondis Williams from OU transfers there and then, you know, averages 20 a game for Wake Forest. So
crazy.
But
also,
yeah, no,
Brady Manick, shout out.
Yeah, shout out Brady Manick, playing the best he's ever played.
And
in
Cameron
college.
McGusty.
And Cam McGusty, yeah. He was a little earlier than those, so I'm hesitant to, like, count Cam McGusty, but I still count him. He was still a Lon Kruger transfer.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, Cam McGusty, too, like, I think he was second team all ACC, but he was averaging 18 a game, like
right.
just killing it, as we
Crazy.
Saw in the tournament too.
Oh, I know.
As we've seen in March Madness. So, anyways, the Duke season, it has been a little weird. There were stretches where, because in non-conference too, another freshman, Trevor Keels, was playing great. Like, he was playing awesome. He played himself up to where I saw him going, like, through the 10 to 14 range, like late lottery range, in the first round. So I was like, when before the season, he was a second-round pick.
Mm.
And then he plays great non-conferences, like, oh, no, this kid's going to go in the lottery. I'm like, this is insane.
I know, it's crazy.
Trevor Keels, like, all these guys, Mark Williams. And then Trevor Keels just goes through a stretch in conference play where he can't hit a shot. Like,
right.
he cannot buy a bucket.
Right.
So, you know, that – and then, like, then you see now the emergence of Jeremy Roach, who's played great.
Everyone's talking about him.
Yeah, in March Madness, and not even that, the conference tournament. Like, he played great in the conference tournament, too. So,
Besides losing to Vautech.
Yeah, they were hot. I'll give it to Vautech. It's okay.
I had the pleasure of watching Matt watch this game in person. I don't think I've ever seen you watch Duke in person.
Yeah, that one, I was just a little defeated. Just felt a little defeated. Just because the kid from Couture, I think is his name, he just couldn't miss.
Right.
They were showing his, like, game-by-game numbers that he was, like, the three games leading up to that, he had 9 points, 6 points, and 2 points. And then he hits Duke for, like, 35. I was like, well, right. That's just... You know,
that's a lot.
You have to throw your hands up. You're like, hey, whatever.
A lot like how Texas Tech felt when Emoji Gibson just emerged out of nowhere, scores 30 points.
Well, what are you gonna do?
You're like, I don't know what to say. I know this has been a lot of Duke talk for a Big 12 basketball podcast, but that's because you should apologize. Second of all, it's because it's the Final Four preview.
Absolutely.
One of the most exciting weekends in all of sports leading up to this moment. This is a big revenge game for Duke, but we'll get into that in a second. Let's go ahead and start off with Kansas and Villanova because we talked a lot about Duke already. But also very, very happy for you as a friend to have Duke going to the Final Four.
You as well in Kansas.
Yeah. It's, you know, I was a little bit stressed for a second there that if something didn't happen, like if Duke didn't go and then Kansas didn't go, or like if one school went and the other one didn't, that it was going to be super bad.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I was actually kind of nervous about our, like, post-game show chemistry that I was like, ah!
No, yeah. I would have been fine. I would have taken it in stride. It would have just gone with, like, a long line of, like, Duke losses that shouldn't have happened. So
right.
It would have gone, you just filed it in right there with all the rest of them.
And at the same time, it would have gone along with all the jokes of, like, yeah, Kansas always chokes in the tournament. Okay. Like,
we know.
It would have been worse from our friend Daniel, but that's beside the point.
Oh, true. Very true.
I could not have lived that down. But Kansas is going against Villanova in the Final Four. A lot of people I've heard are saying that this is the easiest matchup that Kansas could have wanted coming out of that bracket. Do you agree with that? Or do you think that this is the most manageable game that Kansas could be matching up against, or no?
I think it is now that Justin Moore got hurt.
Yeah, right.
Because that's 15 points a game that Villanova just doesn't have now.
Right.
So I think for sure. I think Kansas is lucky that Arizona got
That's what I'm saying, because people are like talking about how, they're so lucky they have Villanova. I'm like, obviously, because Arizona would have been a whole ass mess.
Yeah, Arizona was legit. They were absolutely legit. I picked them to win March Madness.
Me too. But I knew it was too trendy.
Oh yeah, too trendy. I always go with the trendy picks, man. Last year Illinois burned me. Like, it was so bad.
Illinois hasn't been what it's been. I haven't really picked them that much lately.
I know. I got burned by them last year, but
poor guy.
And then got burned by Arizona this year. So.
I got burned by Gonzaga last year.
Yeah,
I had them winning, obviously.
There are some years where, like, in 2015, when Duke won it, I picked Duke to win it because I didn't think any team was better than
Right. Unbiasedly,
Except that Kentucky team. I just didn't want to pick that Kentucky. That was the Kentucky team that was, 38-0, then got beat by Wisconsin in the final, or Elite Eight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or Final Four, excuse me. And then played Duke.
You are excused.
Yeah, thank you. But, yeah, so I was like, Duke and Kentucky are miles better than any of the other teams that year. So that's, like, the only year where I was seriously like, no, yeah, I'm picking Duke because I think they can beat Kentucky. I think they're the only team that can. So that's why I really don't. I don't like doing it because I feel like I'll, like, jinx them. I'll jinx them or something.
That's...
So I try to refrain from picking Duke.
But the one time you did in bracket. 2015, they won.
I know, and I want
do you
to
just
go
save
out.
It for special teams where you're like...
I want to go out 1-0. That's my thing. I want to go out undefeated.
You just
want to
be 1-0 this week?
Yes, picking Duke in my serious bracket, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'll always throw on the app and do like four or five brackets. I'll always have one of Duke winning. But like my serious one, the first one I always fill out is like my serious one.
Mm-hmm.
I had Arizona winning. So I don't like to jinx Duke. I like to go out undefeated and untied. And 1-0.
I almost picking Duke. I don't think I ever really picked Kansas to win. I think probably I think maybe like in the 2020 season I would have, if you know things would have actually happened.
Yeah.
But other than that, I almost never picked Kansas to win because I'm like,
yeah, they're solid this year. And sorry, just to go back to the Villanova matchup, I like I like Kansas's team. I would like to see, and this is maybe just me not like picking and choosing the wrong games to watch of Kansas, but Oshai Agbaji is a slow starter, it seems. And from the games
I've seen. He is, yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're the Big 12 player of the year. Like, let's get you some.
Up for Naismith Trophy, National Player of the Year.
Let's get you going early, mm-hmm. you know? I want to see that. So that's the only thing that concerns me.
He's been pretty quiet in the tournament, too. Yeah. So.
But hey, no time like the present to start playing well. You know, no time like
Final Four. Time like now.
Yeah, exactly. This would be the perfect time.
Yeah.
So I think that... I don't see, as you know, my love for David McCormick, too.
For sure.
I don't think that they have anyone that can really match up with him.
On Villanova's team.
On Villanova's team,
right.
Yeah. The guard play will be interesting. Remy Martin and Colin Gillespie. I like Colin Gillespie a lot.
I love Colin Gillespie, actually. I like how he's been playing lately.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's been good.
So he was all right in the... in the Houston game, had a couple turnovers that were just not
characteristic of
him.
Yeah.
And who knows, if Houston could just make a three, it would be Houston, Kansas.
Right.
Right now.
Didn't they like go the whole game without a three? Or like
maybe
had
two?
One
for 19.
One of 19.
Or one for 20.
Oh, okay.
Like
I thought they were like two of 21.
One of 20. They shot.
Which is crazy.
5%? Yeah, 5% from three. That's just, it's crazy.
Coming from covering the Thunder, you think, how could you have a worse 3-point percentage?
Absolutely. So, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Is like Houston probably should have won that game. So, it's like...
I liked Houston in that matchup, but they just were just so cold. But, I mean, more props to Villanova's defense, because that is one of the most, like, fundamentally sound defenses that just moves.
No, yeah, absolutely. And you see it. We talk about it all the time with Jeremiah Robinson Earl, the Villanova guy on the Thunder. The Jay Wright, he just pumps out guys that are NBA ready to contribute day one.
Yeah.
And not... Like I said, like I've been saying too, not like superstars, like not yet anyways. He hasn't had a superstar yet, but just guys that come in and are day one ready to play and contribute and play winning basketball. Like you see it with Jeremiah Robinson Earl whenever he played. You got a guy like Mikal Bridges who now has gotten paid a lot of money.
Oh my gosh, I know.
For the Suns, and rightfully so.
He's balling out, though.
Yeah, Josh Hart, guys like that. Sadiq Bey. At Detroit, who had 50 earlier in this month.
Crazy.
For a game for the Pistons. So I like Kansas in this game. I like Kansas pretty comfortably. I think the spread last time I looked was like 4.5, something like Kansas was 4.5-point favorites.
Okay.
I would like them to cover that. But, man, it's tough to bet against Jay Wright. Since 2016.
I know. I go back and forth with this. Yeah, since 2016 when they beat Buddy Hield in that Oklahoma team just, and then won it all in the Final Four. I mean, they won in the Final
close.
Four.
Like,
and then
they just couldn't miss against OU, and OU couldn't make anything and kept turning the ball. Like, it was just bad.
It was. I was there, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
That was
a
awful.
Rough game to watch. And that was one of my favorite OU teams, if not my favorite OU team to watch ever. But
up until now.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right,
exactly. But no, I'm hesitant to like pick against Jay Wright. Like that's, I know if I'm like, okay, yeah, Kansas, no doubt they're gonna cover 4.5 and be easy, and and they'll play the winner of Carolina Duke. But I know whenever I say that,
it's not gonna happen. Jay Wright's
Jay
like,
has something
listen.
Up his sleeve. He's like, all right, well, okay. And Jay Wright just is the coolest guy ever. So he seems like the coolest guy ever. So it'll be a good one. It'll be a good one. I just don't think that they have the kind of the bodies down low to handle with McCormick. And then the guard play of Kansas is just really, it's just really good.
It's so good. Remy
like
Martin's
the
been
that,
the guy
right,
for Kansas
and
in this
tournament.
The guy
that just always makes a play anytime I'm watching is Christian Brown, too.
I am obsessed.
He will just always make a play.
Yeah.
That's what you know what you're going to get with Christian Brown.
He's
going to go
in.
He's going to
make plays. One of the best off-ball players I think Kansas has had in a while. And I was talking with Jerry and Dylan on air one day about this, where I don't know what it is with Christian Brown and their chemistry with this team, but they seem the most psyched when Christian Brown makes a play. Like when he makes a transition three, when he goes up for a dunk, like – that dude's going to get in a lot of guys' minds because the trash he talks, like, you could just tell it's immense. It's immense.
Right.
So, I mean, you love to see it from him, but to your point with Oshai Agbaji, I think that they need to start getting him some points in the paint early, some high percentage points just out the jump so that they can kind of build his confidence up, make him a threat early, and then he'll feel more comfortable shooting from outside and making those perimeter shots. Because that's the biggest problem for me. I don't think he, like, attacks offensively from the get-go, and then he's like, oh, I have to make something happen, and then tries to go off. And it's like, no, you're not really warm up, though, because you haven't tried a lot of shots. You haven't attempted basically any.
Right.
So
yeah, that's I would like to see them try to get Agbaji going a lot earlier than what I've seen. And like I said, that may just be me like watching him on bad nights. That may just be it, because I admittedly haven't watched every single Kansas game.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know, right?
You should have properly prepped for this podcast.
Right, yeah, I should have gone back and watched every game. But yeah, just the ones that I've seen, it just seems like he takes a little while to get going. It'll be like the game, I believe it was against OU at Lloyd Noble, whereas like
he got injured. It was
like
at
in the second
point.
Half, and it was like, Oshai Agbaji hasn't scored yet.
He scored in the last 3 minutes. Like all of his points came in like the last 3 minutes, I believe. To be fair though, he did have a injury incur in the middle of the game, so he was taken out until I think the second half.
Right.
Or came back a few minutes beforehand. But yeah, I just think he needs to get going from the get-go. They have to feed Damon McCormick as much as possible. Also, Mitch Lightfoot hasn't been looking too tragic, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, defensively, he's been great. I'm shocked. Like, last game, I actually found myself tweeting, like, do I want Mitch Lightfoot back in instead?
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
Another thing where, like, that's some experience down low. So just in case if let's say McCormick gets in some foul trouble early, like,
which is not uncharacteristic of
him. But so you could count on some experience of Lightfoot to come in and, you know, at least do a job. You might not be able to get the offensive output that you could from David McCormick, but he could come in and do a job, set good screens, get rebounds, maybe get the offense rebound, put back a time or two. That's all you need. whenever your main guy is, you know, if he gets sidelined early with foul trouble or something like that. So, you know, Kansas has options. They're a deep team. So, I like them in the game against Villanova.
I like them too. It just bothers me that I feel like this is all leading up to just Coach K getting that one last national championship before he's out of here. Like, seriously, Matt, like, the second he won that Sweet 16 game against Texas Tech, I was like, oh, they're winning it all now.
No, seriously, I'm like,
they're winning it all now. Like, I don't see anyone really stopping them. Yeah. I mean, this North Carolina game is going to be huge, but there is so much of a narrative behind this game that it's already kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Duke team that you're watching right now is heads and tails above what they were even a month ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing is, like, not even that. Since the game they got beat by Carolina at home, they were playing really well in the ACC tournament, and then Vautech just couldn't miss in the ACC title game. Like, that's just what are you going to do? Sometimes those games happen. But, man, like, I think the two teams that are playing the best in the tournament are Duke and Carolina, and it's kind of a shame that they're meeting in the Final Four, not in the title game. No offense. But I do think they're both playing the best basketball right now out of the four teams that are left. And that's the thing, too, is Duke, I think, after that Carolina game where they just got embarrassed on defense, basically, they just couldn't guard a pick and roll. That's literally all it was. A pick and roll. RJ Davis or Armando Bacot would come up, set a ball screen at the top of the key. RJ Davis would just kind of go to work. He'd either go shoot a floater, layup, or find Caleb Love or Brady Manick wide open for threes.
I was so shocked by this game.
Yeah.
I remember because, I mean, obviously, everything's leading up to this game. It's Coach K's last home game at Cameron, so I was like, okay, I'll be a basketball fan and I'll watch. And I was shook by just how honestly tragic the defense was looking.
Yeah, it was bad. And that's the thing I struggled with too, is like early, like Duke was having a lot of success offensively, but they just couldn't put Carolina away. I think Carolina early on in the like first half, they went through a drought and Duke was only up 5 and like Carolina picked it back up again. I kept texting my dad. I was like, dude, Carolina went through a drought and we're only at 5. Like, it's not looking good. Like, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. If Carolina's going 4 minutes without scoring and you've only gained a 5-point lead, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't bode well. And Brady Manek was hitting every three. So I was like, this, he's not going to stop anytime soon if he just keeps getting wide open looks. So that's the thing I think that has been better, obviously, is the defense. The defensive effort, at least, out of Duke since that game. Since they just flat out got embarrassed, basically. So that, and then Paolo Banchero, whenever he's hitting threes, I like Duke's chances against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If he starts shooting the three ball well, just literally everything opens up and he's impossible to guard.
Banchero has been such a highlight this entire tournament. I feel like,
yeah, he's been so
good. Obviously he's been a favorite for, you know, a top pick in the NBA this entire season, but really him exploding the way he has in this tournament has put a lot of eyes on him, made a lot of people excited, and he's been looking just insane.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of my only like gripe with him, is he would kind of fall in love with shooting the three, and during conference play at least, like, he was not shooting it well from three. So I was like, dude, you're 6'10", 250. These guys can just go in on them, go dunk it, go lay it up. You're way too physical for them. Like, you're way too big for them to stop you. So it seemed like he started finally doing that. Finally, like, they started working some stuff to get him kind of in that short corner, kind of on the block, or a little bit away from the block, about 8 feet out, and just kind of let him go to work. And then, man, he's got that fadeaway from about like 10 feet in his arsenal. It's just like automatic.
Which is so nice.
And then what's great for him is he catches it at the top of the key, and he can one dribble, get to the free throw line, and just pull up, because guys are thinking, okay, he's going to try to body me up and drive. And that has also been, like, since that Carolina game, been automatic, where he'll take one dribble, pull up from the free throw line, 15-foot jumper, good. 2 points, we're going to go play defense now. Like,
maybe play defense. But.
Right, yeah, right. He's been fun to watch. And then the emergence of Jeremy Roach, I talked about earlier, too, has been unbelievable. We talked about Trevor Keels. Keels is coming off the bench now because Jeremy Roach is playing so well, sophomore guard for Duke. And he's been awesome. They've kind of just been, like, letting him run the entire show. Because there was times earlier in the year where Wendell Moore was the point guard and Trevor Keels was kind of playing off of him. And it just didn't look right. Like, something didn't look right on offense. So, yeah, no, once the emergence of Jeremy Roach, he's so quick and lightning fast. So, he's a lot of fun to watch. And then, sorry, last one, Mark Williams.
Mark Williams has been the
most underrated guy. Some team is going to draft him in the NBA and be super excited. They're going to feel like they just robbed, the entire NBA draft.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to be the Rob of this NBA draft. I'm telling you right now.
I think so too. He's an elite shot blocker. He's 7'1" or 7'2", something like that. 7'7" wingspan, an elite shot blocker. Like, everyone talks about how good Chet Holmgren is. Like, I think Mark Williams might be better at shot blocking, not as NBA prospect, though, like, I should have clarified that earlier. as far as shot blocking, shot altering goes, I think Mark Williams might be better than Chet Holmgren.
I really don't want to talk about Chet Holmgren. It's going to make me mad.
I think Chet Holmgren is really good at blocking and altering shots. But
no, he's
Mark
great.
Williams,
I'm just mad that the Thunder jumped too quick about that.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. It happens.
It's not. I've gone through 2 years of watching a worse version of Chet Holmgren.
Okay.
So.
All right. Easy. But Mark Williams, and the knock on him will be that, oh, he can't shoot. Well, I don't think that's true, because he just doesn't shoot in this offense. Like, you got AJ Griffin out there, who's a great 3-point shooter, going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. And then you got Paolo Banchero out there doing everything. Jeremy Roach on the outside, Wendell Moore that can shoot it. Like, so he doesn't need to shoot, but this is where it gives me some promise. He's a 76% free throw shooter, which is pretty good for a guy that's 7'1 and the 7'7 wingspan.
For real.
And he looks good shooting it. So I think there's promise there for an NBA team to be like, okay, so he's a good free throw shooter, looks good shooting free throws. There might be something there where we can get him to kind of hit that 15 to 18 foot jumper in the NBA.
He can hit an elbow shot easy.
Absolutely. So I think he will be a definite steal. Some team will be very happy they drafted Mark Williams. He's been playing great, too. He's really, in my opinion, he's the only one from last year's Duke team that was terrible, didn't make tournament, that I was like, please come back. because there's something there. There is something
pretty
there.
Pretty please.
Yeah, no. Everyone left except Jeremy Roach, Wendell Moore, and Mark Williams. Well, and Joey Baker, but he doesn't really play anymore. But yeah, that's another thing, too, is that like Duke's bench has shrunk. They only sub in two. They play seven
it's
guys.
It's a really tight rotation.
They play seven guys, and that is it now. So, and that's really like only if Mark Williams gets in some foul trouble or needs a quick rest, then Theo John will come in. And then Trevor Keels comes in too, and that's not bad too, to come off the bench for you. So I don't know. I know I monologued a lot about Duke here, but I'm just excited. I'm excited, and I really wanted another chance at Carolina, and you might be saying, careful what you wish for, because Carolina, like I said, they might be playing better than anyone. Coming in,
I think they're the hottest team in the tournament, and then Duke's right behind them.
Either one has been playing great. Carolina, man, Brady Manick, that guy is, as coming from a guy who's watched him a lot at OU.
Sure,
did not expect this.
No, I didn't either.
But
you know what? I gave him so much shit. I mean, I say him like I know him.
Yeah,
I was giving so much shit about him going to North Carolina, being like, listen, this dude is kind of an inconsistent 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Isn't the best stretch five, so I don't really get this. And now he's been balling out. And you know what? I'm really happy for him, actually.
Well,
I'm glad that he's gotten in touch with like how their coaching staff works.
Yeah.
Clearly has learned a lot and developed over the summer and is now just proving everyone wrong.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with him too that I was intrigued by whenever he moved. I was like, okay, he's not gonna have to play the five. Because they have Armando Bacot, and
mm-hmm.
he's a great center, college center. So I was intrigued by it. I was like, okay, so he's not going to have to guard
body
bigs.
Up.
He's not going to have to guard bigs. He's not going to have to try to get in there and do all that stuff. He can float around the outside and shoot. That's what he's good at. Like that's what he's really good at is shooting. And it's been perfect for him. I love their guard play too. It's been great.
Yeah.
RJ Davis has been awesome.
Oh my gosh. He was torching Baylor.
Awesome. Yes. He was absolutely torching Baylor. He torched Duke. Like he's been just torching people since that Duke game, really. And then Caleb Love, that kid has got so much potential. That UCLA game, he had 2 points in the first half and 30 in the second half. Like,
yeah,
he's
I
just
literally
got
was
blow
like,
potential.
I love that guy. He can shoot it, man. Like
yes.
He can just let it rip.
They all can. Like that's the thing with Carolina too, that scares me is they're a better outside shooting team than Duke top to bottom.
Right.
Duke, I think, has the best shooter with AJ Griffin, but like top to bottom of the guys that are going to play a lot, Carolina has way better outside shooting. So that's the thing. That's the great equalizer. That's the 3-point shot. That's the equalizer. So that's why Carolina was never out of it when at Cameron, but they were never out of it and then just kept it rolling and just rolled Duke basically in the second half. So that definitely scares me. Is their outside shooting? And then Mark Williams, like he played all right against Carolina at Cameron, but Armando Bacot played better. So you got to be like, hey, Mark Williams, is this guy that much better than you? You're supposed to go top 20 in the draft. Is he that much better than you? So it's got to be a mm-hmm. challenge. Like Paolo Banchero is Brady Manick. Is he 23 points better than you?
Literally, I'm at this point. That's how I'm going to motivate my players. I like no offense, like you know, I feel like that's probably like an unpopular take because at this point, coaches are like, you know, you want to play for your team and you just want to have fun out there. No, I'm going to be like, listen, bro.
Yeah.
This might be the last game that these NBA scouts see you play until pro day or whatever you have got going on, whatever practices you're going to go do. This is going to be the last. This could be your last game.
Yeah.
Are you really going to let this Brady Manick kid
right.
outplay you for real?
Paolo Banchero, you're supposed to go top 1, 2, 3 in the draft.
You're supposed to be a lottery pick. What's
you
up?
You let this long-haired kid with the dumb beard have 23 on you again?
With a lumberjack beard?
Yeah, exactly.
Coming out here with
exactly.
a hairband? Come
yes.
on now. Come on now. That's how I would be motivating them. That's how I'd motivate
yeah.
Ochai Agbaji too. It's like, listen.
You know what he's going
like,
to? Coach K is going to use a lot more cuss words than I do. But
yeah. it's like, wasn't it Drew Timmy that like was asked about what he said to his teammates in halftime
yeah.
and then he was like having to
censor it on the
national
go.
Television?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing here. So, I mean, last thing before we head out, you have Kansas moving on to the national championship.
I do.
I I mean, this North Carolina and Duke matchup is just way different.
Yeah.
I know your heart is saying Duke, but what do you actually, like, foresee happening?
Man, I think Duke wins. I do think Duke wins.
I think Duke wins because Duke gets the Coach K bump.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. It'll be
interesting. Don't say if. It's going to happen.
We'll see what the refs do.
I think they're getting the Coach K bump. I think it's going to be Duke, Kansas in the national championship.
We'll say that.
I'm going to hate my life because Duke's going to win.
I don't know. I do like Duke the rest of the way. I will say that. Just because I'm leaning back on the fact that this is just a fact. Duke is the most talented team left.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, I mean, they're going to have four, if not five, first round picks. Like,
yeah.
Depending on where Wendell Moore goes.
Annoyance with this Duke team, because I was like, you guys have like five projected first round picks and you can't make this shit happen, but now they're obviously playing out their minds, so
right.
I'm like, okay.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, but talent doesn't always win out. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting. I do like Duke all the way, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kansas wins. Like, it would not.
What? Against Duke?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Why?
They're a good team. Good coach. Like, they're an experienced team, too. Like, Duke's got, you know, two sophomores and a senior, and then the rest are, like, freshmen. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So that wouldn't surprise me. The biggest surprise, obviously, would be if Villanova ended up winning it.
That's the biggest shocker
that
here.
That would be the biggest shocker. Just because Carolina, too, like, I would say even if Carolina wins it, it wouldn't be as big of a shocker as if Villanova wins. Because the way that They're starting five, like, Carolina's starting five is as good as anyone's. They just had a period in time where they just could not play defense. They couldn't play defense, and they finally got it figured out at the right time, and they got hot at the right time. That's what you got to do. So, Carolina, the whole, like, oh, they weren't ranked, they're an 8 seed, yada yada. Like, okay, they're still Carolina. They still have a ton of talent. Like, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Well,
but Villanova losing 15 points a game and Justin Moore. And then winning it, that would definitely surprise me.
That would be a big shock. This is going to sound weird, but I like Kansas and Duke better than I like North Carolina and Kansas. But I know that Duke's going to win regardless, so it doesn't really matter.
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't know. I like Duke winning it all, like I said.
Right.
But I think that's what I'm saying is, like, nothing would surprise me other than Villanova winning. Nothing would surprise me. If Carolina beats Duke and then Carolina beats Kansas, wouldn't surprise me at all. Like,
at this point, you got three blue bloods and the newest to the crew in the Final Four. So, like, you have some of the best and most reputable basketball programs left in it.
I'd say Villanova's borderline. They're borderline.
You think they're borderline?
They won one in the 80s, too. They had some good. They had some really good teams in the 80s.
I'm more of a purist.
I'll say they're right under. They're right under. But
that's why I say, like, news to the crew, because I don't consider them a blue blood. Right.
They're like Clemson in football.
Right.
They're new.
They're new.
They won one in the 80s. So did Clemson. Like, but they didn't really do anything. And then now
they're going crazy.
Yeah. Credit to Villanova, though. Credit to Jay Wright. He's the one school that hasn't been affected by the Big East all going to the ACC, basically, you know, like, all breaking up.
Right.
So, credit to him, man. He's a great coach.
We all know how big of a fan you are of Jay Wright.
Absolutely. If that isn't clear already.
Well, thank you, Matt, obviously, for coming on. Good catch.
Thank you.
Let everyone know where they can find you.
You find me on Twitter at I am Matt Burton.
B-U-R-T-O-N.
B-U-R-T-O-N, yes. Two T's, which weirdly I get that more than you would think.
Like, how do you spell Matt?
Yeah, they're like, is it one or two T's? I'm like,
who spells Matt with a T?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm
don't
not.
Know.
Like, you're like, I'm
it's
not
two,
a doormat.
The normal,
I'm
exactly,
Matt.
Exactly, the normal spelling. Sorry.
Whatever shoots your fancy. Just, I'm sure you can find
exactly.
Me. Big shout out to Matt Burton for coming on here, talking a lot of Duke basketball on a Big 12 podcast, but that's okay. Final Four preview is out for you guys. You can find him on Twitter at I am Matt Burton and myself at CB on Sports and our podcast Twitter at MW_MadnessBig12. We will be live tweeting the entire Final Four. You know that that's a fact because my eyes will be glued to this TV screen, I promise you. Also, before I head out of here, Home Field Apparel is still doing their deal. We still got a lot of good stuff on. And if you want to be a Peacocks fan still, just go right for it. Vote for the underdogs. It's okay. Just use code MIDWEST12 at checkout to get 15% off your first order at Home Field Apparel. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. But we will see you guys next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.